Bigao's funeral is this Tuesday at 2:20 at Kingston Crematorium. Further pastoral news, Jenny Tarbutt has had a hip replacement. Dorothy Dot Dixon has had a fall and is in Kingston Hospital. And Joan Mackay is also in Kingston Hospital. This Saturday, you can put away your National Trust membership passes or whatever and instead go to Myrtle Austin's, where this week's open gardens are taking place. And Myrtle says, don't bring a bottle, but do bring a chair. I think that's it, apart from a few words from Steve about the forthcoming activity days.
And you thought the World Cup was over, didn't you? Positively, the last reference in Kingston to the World Cup will be at our activity mornings next Monday and Tuesday, the 26th and 27th. And we're taking the last two countries, Holland and Spain, and looking at their cultures and just a little bit of football. Our problem is that we are very short-staffed. Everybody seems to be taking their holidays next week. So if anybody could come and help, we'd be very grateful. If you haven't done it before, I think you'll find it's fun. We'll help you, show you what to do. So I'd love to talk to you afterwards if you think you could help.
Good morning, everybody. Morning. Let's start our service of worship today in prayer. Gracious God, from the busyness of our lives to the peace of this place, we gladly come to rest with you. Living God, from the loudness around us to the quiet of prayer, we gladly gather in your calm. Guiding God, from the intensity of the world to the stillness of your being, we gladly meet with you. Amen. We're going to sing our first hymn, which is number 74 in the hymn books, or up on the screen. And the hymn is Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Forgive, Lord, our crowded hearts, minds, and lives, filled with distractions that flatter and deceive, drawing us into words and thoughts and actions that grieve you, shame us, and hurt others. Forgive that same crowdedness that draws us away from words and thoughts and actions that would gladden you. Honour us and heal others. Amen. Thank you, Father God, that as we come to you and ask for your forgiveness and ask for your continued help as we journey through this life, you meet with us. You are so ready and so eager to forgive, so keen, so willing to know us, spend time with us, work with us, share with us. We thank you, generous God, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask you to join in with a little activity with me now. I probably should say join in with a little inactivity with me now, because I'm not going to ask you to do anything other than just sit there in silence for 1 minute. Okay? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to time that 1 minute, and when you think that minute is up, I want you to raise your hand. Okay? Now, we have to have an unspoken agreement here that there's no cheating going on. So no checking of watches, no setting mobile phones to go off with a little click after a minute, and no counting from 1 to 60 in your head. Okay? Are we agreed? Okay, are we ready? So as soon as you think the minute is up, hands in the air, and I'll try and keep a lookout and see if I can spot who is the most accurate timekeeper in your congregation. So, let's just wait for... And your time starts now. La la la. Strictly no counting. Okay, we've had our first taker. Second one, okay. Oh, a few more hands going up now. Don't be bullied by peer pressure. Still a few hands to go up. There's one or two more people. Do you know what? I'm going to stop it there because it's actually a minute and a half. So the people haven't put their hands up. I have to say, I think the winner, pretty sure the winner, was Rosemary Moore. Ooh. So So a round of applause for Rosemary Moore. I don't know how you felt about sitting in silence. I don't know how much time you get in your busy lives to have time just to be by yourself, to be with the Lord in quiet and in prayer. But the theme of our service today is making space. And the Bible story that we're going to have today is about two people, one who made space for Jesus and one who did not. And we're going to have a few reflections on that Bible story a little bit later in the service. But first of all, we're going to sing a hymn. It's number 648, Jesu, Jesu. So please stand up and we'll sing number 648. We're going to have our reading now, which is from Luke chapter 10, and Fran Bevan is going to read that for us.
The reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Jesus visits Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him in her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat down at the feet of the Lord and listened to his teaching. Martha was upset over all the work she had to do, so she came and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled over so many things, but just one is needed. Mary has chosen the right thing, and it will not be taken away from her."
Thank you. Okay. I read a story the other day about some graffiti on a university wall. Bear in mind, this is a university wall we're speaking about, so it's not your old common or guardy graffiti that you might get in other places. One student had quoted a philosopher called Voltaire, and they'd written on the wall, "To do is to be." That's very deep, isn't it? To do is to be. And another student had counteracted that, and by the side of that there was a quote from another famous philosopher called Sartre, and they'd written, "To be is to do." And some wise guy had written underneath, "Frank Sinatra, dooby dooby doo." But you know what? I think even though he may not have known it, I think Sinatra got it right. Because human life, Christian living, is a mixture, isn't it, of both doing and being. Dooby dooby doo. We spend time being children of God, time spent in his presence, and we spend time doing good deeds, serving people who most need us. And I find that most people are usually better at one than they are at the other. And I'll share what I think I am a little bit later. But let's look at our reading. The usual interpretation of today's reading is something like this. Mary is the good girl, the contemplative who sits at Jesus' feet and she just listens to him, soaking up his presence. Whilst Martha is the slightly naughty one, the one who gets it wrong. She's got her heart in the right place, but actually she gets it all wrong because she's faffing about in the kitchen. And there is something to be said about this interpretation of the passage. It's very important for us to get our priorities right, to make sure that we do spend some time with God and we do spend some time in prayer and worship and times when we're not always busy, we're on our own and we're in peace and quiet. And some people here today, I guess, will really need to be reminded of that message because they have busy lives that need some rest and refreshment. And sometimes we need to just stop and calm down and chill out. And I chose the quotation, there's a little quotation on the notice sheet this morning that I chose, and it says this: "It's more important to know where you are going than to get there quickly. Do not mistake activity for achievement." Mary knew where she was going, or certainly at least to whom she was going. And she took a risk, actually. She was in the place where the men in that society would normally be sitting. And she went and sat alongside them so that she could hear her Lord and her Master. So that's an important message. But I want to turn this passage on its head a little bit today because there's two other angles that I want to briefly look at. And the first is this. Someone once said that all it takes for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. Can't remember who said that. If you know who said that, then you can tell me afterwards. But all it takes for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about the fact that there is a time for everything. And that includes a time to speak, as well as a time to be silent. Sometimes inactivity and silence is a very positive connection and engagement with God, as it was for Mary. And sometimes, to be frank, it's an escape, an excuse. It's a shrinking away from very necessary engagement with the world out there. And I guess I want to say it's good to make lots of noise sometimes as well as to be silent. To be noisy about injustice, for example. There's so much in the Bible about the poor and about how God watches over the poor and how he gives us a responsibility to care for the poor. And there's a very important question in Micah chapter 6 in the Bible, and it asks this question: what does the Lord require of you? You know, what's the main thing? Let's cut to the chase. What does God want from you? And the answer is this, and it's threefold. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That's what God wants of us, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, I'm quite a contemplative person. I'm a bit shy and scared about going out there, and I'd rather sit at home and pray about something, or maybe if I want to help a good cause, I'll perhaps donate some money or something like that. But a couple of years ago, I decided to be a bit more courageous, and I went into London on a march, which is absolutely unheard of for me. I was terrified. I don't know what I thought was going to happen to me. I thought I was going to get arrested or something and end up in a Westminster police cell or something. It was a church-led march. It was to do with stop the... I went on two. I went on a stop the traffic march, which was about trafficking of slaves. It was celebrating 200 years of the abolition of slavery and calling on the government to do something about modern-day slavery. And the other march was a Make Poverty History march. And there were thousands of people in London, and they were all there chanting and had huge banners that they were waving in the sky, and we were marching around. And I was absolutely terrified about the thought of going in. But it was so, so good for me, actually, to get active and to make a noise and to say, there's this situation in the world. It is wrong that people are still living in slavery. It's wrong that people are still living in poverty. And I can pray about it, and I can give money, and those are fantastic things to do, don't get me wrong, but I want to make my voice heard, and I want to apply a little bit of pressure here and say, I sign my name, I, Sally Butler, do not like this situation, and I want it to change, and I'm prepared to get out there and be active about it and make some noise. And I'm pleased to tell you, I didn't get arrested. It was fine. And actually, I really met with God in a weird kind of a way. I felt empowered. And I felt like I was really doing God's work by going out there and doing that. And I'm not saying that we should all go out and into London and go on marches. There's lots of different ways that we can be active as well as contemplative. And I really encourage you to think about how you can make a noise, how you can take a stand against these issues that you feel passionately about. The second thing I want to say, I find interesting, that isn't normally mentioned when people talk about this story, is Martha's cheek, really, her boldness. One of the commentators I was reading talks about her audacity. Now, the name Martha means lady or mistress, and she does seem to be the mistress of this particular house, and she's shown Jesus a lot of warmth and a lot of hospitality in inviting him in, and that's good. But if you actually think about what she's doing, it's interesting. What is she doing? She is complaining. She's got him in her house and she's complaining. Come on, Jesus. Mary is just lazing about, doing nothing, and I'm doing all the work. So she's complaining. And she's ordering Jesus about a bit. She's saying, come on, Jesus. Tell her to help me. Tell her, come on, this is what I want you to do. Tell her to get in the kitchen and start helping with the cooking and the preparing. I just find that so interesting because she knows that Jesus is no ordinary person. She calls him Lord. And a little bit later on, there's another story about her in John chapter 11. It's very clear she knows who Jesus is. She knows he's not an ordinary person. She knows he's got a lot of power and authority. And yet here she is, telling the Son of God, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, what she wants done. Come on, I'm not happy about this situation, do something about it. And we know that Jesus responds in a very gentle but firm way. And I just think that tells us so much about her relationship with Jesus. Because you've got to be really secure in a relationship to risk that kind of conversation, to be sure of the kind of response that you're going to get in return. And I suppose it made me think it's okay to be noisy in front of God, because God is big enough to take our whinging and our complaining, and he will always answer us in a gentle way. Far better to whinge at God, I guess, than to whinge at each other. And so many of the Psalms feature someone who's gone to God and is basically saying, God, my life sucks. My my life is absolutely dreadful, and here is what I want you to do about it. I want you to go to that person and tell them this, that, and the other, and I want you to do that to that person, and I want you to smite that person, and I want you to do this, and... It's like yelling at God. It's like yelling at God. And I think God really works with that. Because so often, if you look at the Psalms, by the time the Psalm is finished, at the end, the person has come to a point of acceptance about their situation, and they've come to a point of praise. So you get this massive long whinge where this person pours out their frustration and pours out their heart before God. And God is obviously, I think sometimes there should be a little gap in the psalm, because God has obviously done something at some point with that person, and then you've got this time of praise at the end. So, okay, Martha gets it wrong, and Jesus has to tell her that Mary has got it right. But I think it's good for Martha to feel so comfortable and so intimate with her friend Jesus that she can get that frustration off her chest. She can go to him, and it gives him time to correct her and to change her perspective. So I'm going to finish by saying, where are you in all of this? Are you a Mary who needs to get active and to make some noise? Or are you a Martha who needs to slow down and chill out and make some time for God in your life? Or maybe you need to go to God with a situation for yourself or for a friend and just get real and get honest with him, even if it means a good old whinge. I'm going to have a time of silence whilst we think some more about that, and then we'll sing again. Inspiring God, we pray for the wisdom to take your time and seek your space in which to live your love for the world. And we also pray for the strength to make the noises justice requires, so that we invade the space of those who lead us to wasteful conflict and away from peace. Amen. We're going to learn a Teze chant now, and it's called Da Pacem Domine. And Tony is much more competent than I am to teach these things, so he's going to come and teach us, and then we're going to try and do a round. So I'm going to hand over to Tony to teach this.
I'm going to go to the next one.
We're going to try and keep that peace and that silence as we pray. And for our prayers this morning, I'm just going to read a headline taken from this morning's news. And I'll leave you the space and the quiet to reflect on that and to pray. Four UK forces deaths in 24 hours. Raoul Moat's ex-partner describes her attack. Baghdad suicide bomb kills 9 people. BP extends capped oil well test. Plan for Afghan aid to be unveiled. O Lord, hear our prayers, and please answer to the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to have our offering now, and then our final hymn. Heavenly Father, you are a bountiful God. You give us so much, and we thank you. And what we do here today is give back some of that to you. Use it, bless it to your glory, Father. And as we give this money, we give ourselves, our time, our personalities, our talents. Use us, Lord, to your glory. We thank you for the life that you've given us and pray that you would walk with us each new day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. We're going to sing our final hymn now, which is Be Thou My Vision, and it's number 489, number 489. Please do stand. living God, we have gathered for worship and now scatter for service. We pray your blessing on all our days. In the quiet and the noise, in the space and the crowdedness, in the peace and the conflict, we pray that we may make time and give room to hear and heed your voice. Amen. Please sit down. I've just noticed that I have finished the service a little bit early, I think, but that's okay because it gives me more time to say hello to you and to meet you and to drink coffee and tea and have biscuits and things like that. So thank you for coming and thank you for having me. It's been good to worship with you, and see you in a few minutes.